Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Alma Rivera with Great God taking us out of our news at the top of the hour. Welcome, welcome to the second hour of the show this afternoon. My name is Lukom Kwedi Phuthi and absolutely, absolutely thrilled to be spending this afternoon with you. And as you can hear, I'm smiling from ear to ear because look, there's a closer song that says Ungabothula. I think it's Zulu, yes. Ungabothula. Unkulunkulu kwenzeni into ezinhle. You must never keep silent when the Lord does good things for you. And I think whenever Danny and Dana, right? Yes. Danny and Dana. Is that how I say it?
Yeah, perfect.
Whenever Danny and Dana come here, Shem, I'm sorry, guys, you'll never hear the end of it. I will never be silent because I was once a recipient of the work that you guys do. And it changed my life. It bettered my mental state. And so you're back again at it. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I think let's get a proper and brief introduction because you guys do so many campaigns. I don't know if you guys still are coined as child protection. Is it child protection hotline?
Child protection hotline is one of the umbrellas.
Yes. Okay.
So I fully understand where you're coming from. So we actually at the National Center for Child Protection.
National Center for Child Protection. Ah, but I knew there was child protection there.
and then one of the foundations within that National Center for Child Protection is the Child Protection Hotline.
Oh, I've always known you guys as the Child Protection Hotline. And when I share with people, for instance, I had a friend who was going through the most and she's like, I need to talk. And I said, look, it might take long, but trust me, it's worth it. And I sent her the WhatsApp number, and she hasn't gotten back to me, by the way. I must actually check with her. But I always just send a friend. I just wrote counseling. I sent that to her, and I said, just send a hi and follow whatever instruction they give you. So, Danny and Dana, thank you so much for coming through once again. Welcome, welcome. Should I welcome you guys home? Is that even fair? Because you guys are like part of the family.
We feel part of the family. So it's great. It's great to be here again.
Oh, man. I think let's get a proper and brief introduction of you guys before we get into our chat for today, because it's quite a serious one.
Yes.
It is quite a serious one. We don't mean to scare you. If you are a parent, this is definitely for you to hear. Don't think my child is too old, my child is too young. There's nothing such as that. So we start with the ladies. Tell us what role you play at the organization and your name and what role you play. Then we go to Dani as well.
So my name is Dana. I do feel like I'm part of the furniture here.
Definitely.
So my role is to handle the mental health side and our counseling hotline that we have partnered with you. And my title that Dani tagged me for is COO of the organization. So I ensure that everything mental health related gets attended to and that people receive the necessary help that's needed.
Oh man, absolutely amazing. And over to the CEO, right?
I wear many hats.
Please wear them. Let's hear them.
I'm also the one that switches on the kettle. So I'm comfortable with any hat. My name is Dani, and I've been in child protection for the last 15 years. And the National Center for Child Protection was born out of what I believe was a need that we saw where children needed help. And with that, the different departments like the hotlines, our academy, our magazine, and.
Oh, wow. That's a lot, I must say. And when you said national, this is a suggestion that this is not just for us in Gauteng. It's for the entire country. And we're grateful. We're grateful. I think I'll forever mention this. I'm grateful because your services for young people, and I'm so glad because I'm still in my 30s, so it found me just on time. Your services came in handy for me. You know, I'm at a point where right now in my life, I'm without house assistance. And I got two 23-month-old babies, soon to be 23 months. And I felt like my head was spinning for a moment there. But I'm going to tell you now. I remember speaking to my counselor, and I think she broke the rules, but she did say that if I ever felt like I was overwhelmed, she will go back to you guys and say, hey, bring back my patient's file. She needs me right now. She said to me, listen, Luko, you come back if you ever feel overwhelmed. Whether I'm here or not, send me a WhatsApp. I'll try and assist you. And I think, as much as I know I've got that backup, this time around, no matter how overwhelmed in the past 2 months I've gotten, I think I've handled it so much better. Mm-hmm. I've got the tools and I'm in a healthier place. So guys, kudos for the work you guys do for us. We appreciate it. However, today we are talking on a different note. We're not talking about Luko. We're not talking about the old youth like myself. Tell us exactly what your visit is all about, because I really understand that, man, our kids get themselves into sticky situations.
Yes, they do. So there's a term that normally gets loosely used when it gets to some of the things that kids get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
So we've spoken about addiction before with you on your show, and then specifically one of the addictions a lot of people struggle with, which is not a visible addiction, is porn addiction.
Sure.
And then obviously child pornography makes that even worse. But see, child pornography kind of makes it seem okay, and not seem okay like you can do it, but seem okay in the sense of it's just something that's now with regards to kids, because pornography has become such a big thing that even in a lot of what seems to be from the outside healthy marriages, there's a problem like that. So the correct term for something like child pornography, to give it the correct name, is actually called CSAM, called child sexual abuse material.
Oh, okay.
Because once we change from child pornography to child sexual abuse, that sounds like abuse. That sounds wrong.
Yep.
And the main reason we wanted to have this conversation is a lot of parents are reaching out to us. And because we have such a good relationship with you guys, we'd like to start to have that conversation with your listeners. Is your child is now in trouble because they've made the mistake of sharing CSAM.
Sure.
They've made the mistake of sharing either photographs or videos or something intimate with them, keeping in mind that just a photo of a child's face, now with all the technology improvements and AI and so forth, allows somebody to make somebody that even did something as innocent as sharing a photo with somebody they didn't know or a stranger, a victim.
Sure.
And then what happens is, under our school kids, there's this new trend where they add, you call it WhatsApp groups or communities.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I'm on one or two communities where it's all about my sport team. So whenever they play a game, their teams get announced there. When they've got a practice, you can see photos. So it kind of makes you feel part of it.
Yeah.
But now what the kids have started doing is they've started taking some of those photos. Some of them girls are clothed. Some of them they've taken off the clothing.
Yo.
Or they had access to, for example, a nude photo. And they then posted on these communities. Now, how these communities work on WhatsApp is you cannot say anything on there.
Mm.
You can only take an emoji and comment with this emoji or react with this emoji. But you won't be able to see who commented or who not.
Yo.
So they put these photos on this, and for example, they'll call it, Donnie's group for girls, for example.
Mm.
And then they'll put these photos there, and then other kids or other people can then join that.
I like how you said other people, because we even get predators into these children's spaces, actually, because there's no guard over these spaces.
And then these people vote on these photos, and they then take a screenshot of that, and then they send it. So, for example, let's take Dana. Dana's a pretty girl. We take that photo of Dana. We put it there on the community. And then after all the votes, so you can also add something. You could put there, would you like to kiss Dana, yes or no? And a yes would be represented by this emoji, and no will be represented by a different emoji. And then we screenshot that and we send it to Dana and say, see, Dana, nobody would actually like to kiss you, or whatever the case might be. And then, and I'm going to pass this to Dana because this is her field. But then that poor child, for example, if they sent a naked photo, a CSAM photo, they're not going to tell mom and dad they made that
mistake.
And now it's being sent and now it's going viral. Because now 100, 200, 500,000 people have voted on that. And now that child sits with that on their own. And then they need to try and deal with that without knowing where to reach out for assistance so that they can feel better.
And you must remember already, once it's gone out there, as a child, I'm thinking, my parents are not even supposed to know. So who supports me?
Yeah, so it's quite difficult when this takes place. And I think there's not a lot of exposure, you know, around these kinds of topics.
Yeah.
For example, a little bit off topic for 2 seconds. I went to the pharmacy and one of the pharmacist's names is Sam. Mm-hmm. And she was struggling to see her computer screen. And the other lady said, see, Sam, you know, like, have like look at your computer screen. See, Sam. And I stood there, and only because I'm in the line of work that I'm in, am I aware of what CSAM actually is. And I told the ladies, I said, just be careful. You know, you innocently said something, but this is the reality of what CSAM actually is and what it means. So we need to have these kinds of discussions. But rightfully so, you said that where do these children go to, they don't have support. I mean, I think it would be very difficult for a child to go and make a mistake such as that and send a picture of sorts and be exposed on such a WhatsApp channel or any form of channel and then receive that feedback of, actually, no one wants me, you know, I'm not worthy enough. And then how do you go to your parents and say, listen, I'm being labeled the slut of the school, or I'm being labeled as a untouchable individual because no one actually wants to hit me. Because a lot of the times they say, would you hit or would you smash or would you miss?
Yeah, or so, pass.
Pass, yes. So, oh, mom, dad, all, you know, 100 of these people said that they'd pass on my image.
And you know, innocently a child says that as if it's a good thing for them to want to be under smash.
Yeah.
Because it's children.
Yes, of course. And children want to fit in. They want to belong to a group of sorts and more so the popular group. So where can they go for support to answer your question? They're not going to go to mom and dad.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, we're finding in some of the schools nowadays as well, you go to your teacher and you report something to your teacher and your teacher dismisses you and your teacher says, oh no, but you're just a liar, or oh, you're making this up. So a lot of the times, I'm not saying all schools or all teachers, but sometimes the kids don't feel like they can go to their teacher, or a school does not have a counselor or a social worker for the child to speak to. So that child then starts self-harming. That child then goes online looking in other forms and avenues to receive some form of validation, such as OnlyFans accounts and, you know, posting more revealing photos on social media, losing weight, developing eating disorders so that more likes and followers will actually, you know, react to their pictures that they're posting. So long story short, we've got a counseling hotline for a reason. That counseling hotline is there for these kids to go and get that support that they need, that they feel mom and dad are going to probably beat me. If I go to them with this, I don't actually just feel comfortable because mom and dad don't feel like they'd understand. So that's why we have counselors. They're non-judgmental. They're there. They're accessible. They're free. It can be done in the comfort of your own home behind a screen. And I think that's why it's such a valuable tool and resource to offer the community and children.
And I think what you said is so important, is once we get that child that's now not realizing, not being on the hit list is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
What are they now doing in terms of wanting to be, you know, or up their level? And so now they start sharing more revealing photos. They start sharing. So where they were innocently taken advantage of, they now become part of the concern.
To try and prove their worthiness.
Yes, 100%. Exactly like Dana said. So they're not feeling worthy. So how do I then become worthy in that sense? Is I then now become provocative. I mean, we worked at a school in the week. And, you know, one of the kids shared that some of the kids are doing weird little dances and stuff with their cell phone numbers available for TikTok so that people can make contact with them, because they're obviously not feeling good about themselves.
So that
they now have these strangers saying things. This morning I was at a school and I said to the kids, you know, I stood there the other day and I was watching a netball game because my daughter plays netball. And I actually heard some of the girls just behind me, not thinking, saying things like, oh, she's currently chatting to three boys. Oh, she's got about four or five boys that she's talking to. Like, that is some form of, that's what makes you feel good. Not your 80% in maths or whatever the case might be. It's all about those external things which you've got no control over, which I then, instead of, you know, letting it be, are now going chase after that attention.
Yeah. You know, as you guys are speaking, I think as Dana was saying earlier on, in fact, when we were talking about how difficult it is for our children to actually speak to the parents, to go back and say, hey, mommy, I made a mistake and now I'm being victimized for it. Here's the reality. Our children are always on their phones. Let's be honest. They're always on their phones. They use them. Whether we monitor them or not is another conversation altogether. And I think it's time we expose our children to such help so that your child knows, I'm opening the floor for you to speak to me. But if you aren't able to do that, at least reach out to Abotena and Dani. Just reach out to the team, because I might not be able to hit certain aspects. And as we're having this conversation, I'm reminded of a lady who's now an influencer on social media from the Eastern Cape. She's a professional dancer right now. You know how she came to fame? Nude pictures of her exposed on social media. And I remember very well, as a child back then, everybody was mentioning her name. It was, and that's what she was known for. Now in our adulthood years, how do I remember that she's that girl? Because another girl was being victimized. And immediately she said, please bring me this girl. Because there was a time where I could not face the world. There was a time where I had made a terrible mistake. And the only way I atoned for it was that the whole country got to know about it. But I survived and here I am. But the sad reality is, not all the children will be strong enough to withstand that. That's the reality. And I don't know why, guys. I don't know why. I said this to my sister recently when my niece got into trouble at school, also recently, and she's 13, where she was being accused of being in a group, these WhatsApp groups, and there was some cyberbullying happening. And I said to my sister, I'm not too sure why our kids generally are so mean. I don't know why, and I don't think it's an intentional thing. I really don't. I just think it could be because it's coming from us and how we react also at home. But I find they can be so mean to each other.
Well, they are, because they don't like themselves. And they don't like themselves.
Yo, Dani.
They don't like themselves because they consistently being measuring themselves on social media to others. Because social media is not truthful. My dad used to teach me something. He used to say, never listen. If you want the truth about someone, do not go to their wedding or their funeral.
Oh.
Because there's only positive things being said that day.
True.
Nobody goes to anywhere and starts off with, you know what, I'm sometimes a difficult guy. And I mean, I've been divorced now for 12 years. And I've gone on a date and I start with that. My CV includes that I'm sometimes a difficult guy. I mean,
really?
Dana sits here next to me. I'm a nice guy and I've got a good heart. But my lines are so strict in terms of my boundaries that there's no gray areas at all. And the only rainbow I know about is the one with Noah. So there's black and white. There's
no gray.
No. And the thing is, some people like that and some people don't like that.
True.
But I'm not changing accordingly. And so I start off with, listen, I'm sometimes a difficult guy. And it's not that I'm purposefully difficult.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what I'm saying. She's here next to me. She's the person that spends the most time with me when it comes to work time and stuff. And she knows I don't shift off, except if sometimes she can tell me, okay, you know what? I think there's a need for change. And then I'll allow her to convince me. But it's very difficult. And she already knows sometimes, like, leave. Don't don't he's got his way of doing things, yeah. And he's kind of set in
his
ways.
In his moment.
Yes. And I think that's important, is to realize that your child probably does not like him or herself.
Mm.
And they do not like him or herself because when they pick up a phone and they compare them to their peers, they see a perfect world.
Mm.
There's no problems. There's no pimples. I mean, when last did you see... I've got now two ladies here with me. When last did you see a lady with pimples on a profile picture? No, it's been edited.
True. Picture perfect.
And I always tell Dana is... As you grow older, as a man specifically, I am a man, so it's the only way I know, is you realize how much more value real has than that photo that looks perfect to the outside,
mm-hmm.
but which literally hides an insecurity.
Exactly.
Because why would you go and clean your face that much if you were happy in your skin? But you need age to realize that.
True. You need a certain level of maturity to get to that point. So I think I've gotten my answer why kids get so mean to each other. But I think before we even get to the details of how this can be done, I'm a child right now, and I've gotten myself into this mess, like I said, and Dana did say there is a way of assistance here. Where do I start, and is it not going to go back to my mom? Because I'm not too sure if I'm going to reach out to you and all of a sudden you go and snitch on me, because snitches get stitches. Mm. I have my niece who say that all the time. No, I'm not going to tell on her. Snitches get stitches.
I always say to the kids when we speak at the schools, and I have the opportunity to address them on a couple of topics, and that's one of the main things that they focus attention on is I don't want to snitch because I'll be isolated from the crowd or, you know, snitches get stitches or whatever. And I always say to the kids, snitches actually save lives.
Sure, that's true.
So
that's true.
Would you rather be a snitch and save someone's life, or would you rather be a snitch and know that you participated in the possibility of a child not surviving? And then they kind of go quiet for a little while.
I'm that child right now. I'm that child because, honestly, I'm sitting here, Dana, and how old is my niece? She's turning 17 in August. 17 years ago, I snitched on my sister. She had been planning an abortion on her phone.
Mm.
Somehow I found the text and I thought, before it gets to that, let me get to my mommy. And today she was shocked when I told her years later. She's like, what? And my niece and I are as close as can be today.
Mm.
So I could have gotten stitches myself. So it's true. It could save a life, actually.
Yes.
Because who's to say she would have survived that as well? My sister herself.
Very true. And we me and Dana and one of our counselors, probably about a year ago now, met with a girl at school after one of our talks, shared with us that she was at that point in time, she was pregnant.
Mm.
And she was contemplating an abortion.
Mm.
And that was the conversation we had with her. We can't make decisions for
of
you.
Of course.
But you're going to think back on this forever. Your first child's never going to feel like your first child.
Yep.
Your child would have been a certain age, and you're going to see kids that age, and it's going to trigger
you.
And it haunts you,
exactly.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying I need to show you the entire picture so that when you've got the entire picture, because I have friends who had abortions who were very happy they did because it allowed them to be young people before they became moms and dads. Mm-hmm. And then I have friends who still think of that every single day, and it haunts them. They say daily. But you asked a very important question about what happens if my parents don't want me or want to know because I made a mistake. Because that's exactly what it is. You make a mistake. This morning at the school, I said to the one teacher, I said, a lot of people say, but these kids want to send CSAM. They want to send naked photos. Mm. Not necessarily. If you are not feeling good about yourself, then you probably do kind of anything for the compliment.
Yeah.
Like kids that are naughty. And we always say, no, they're naughty because they want attention.
But there's a longing somewhere for something.
Exactly. So if they're looking for the compliment and the naked photo gets the compliment, it was never for the child about the naked photo. So a lot of kids then just make a mistake. And if they make the mistake, Dana says it's so lovely, and I'm going to hand over to her. But there's a way that we can work with this without having to break that trust, confidentiality, and have parents who are now going to become, Dana, I think you call it helicopter parents.
Parenting.
But she can do that. I just know the term. I don't know how it goes. But she'll take it. But there's
you can
a
imagine
way.
It, though. You can imagine the helicopter. Yes, Dana.
It is a difficult one. You know, we do have a lot of requests that come through our hotline that the child says, okay, but I don't want to share any information with you because you might go to my mom and my dad and tell them what's going on. And we always reassure them and try and gain their trust in saying, you know, share with us what is going on first. Let us deal with you first as the child that has made the mistake. Dependent on what is shared, we might have to go the route of informing mom and dad. But we also do that in such a way that we guide mom and dad through that process of ensuring that they now don't go and lash out on their child. I dealt with a case a while ago, actually. The girl was self-harming. She was in grade 7 at the time when I started counseling her. And it was a difficult call for me to make because I needed to make mom aware of the fact that she was hurting herself.
So she could look out for it. True.
Yes, yes, definitely. And also, as a counselor, you have the moral obligation and the lawful obligation as well to report certain matters that, you know, unfortunately is out of our hands. And I had to have that difficult conversation with mom. And I said to mom, you know, before I share that with you, you need to make me a promise. You are not going to strip yourself and change your ways and means at home. Because mom said, I'm removing all the knives in the house and scissors, and I'm going to like baby proof my house. I said, no, because then I've completely lost your child.
Oh, because she'll know exactly who told her.
Yes, because all of a sudden now mom is acting out of norm. So I said, mom, listen, I understand it's difficult, but we are in this process together. So in order for me to really get to your child and get through this process with her, you need to carry on like normal. I know it's hard, but then pick up the phone and give me a call so I can guide you. I can speak to you. And mom, fortunately, in this case, listened.
That's good.
And we got the girl to a point where she no longer self-harms. And she actually no longer needed counseling as well. So just that mom taking that advice in the right way and listening
and
to
the panicking
steps. Yes. So if you're a child, reach out to us. Every case will differ. The way we handle a case will be different each time. But we might need to disclose. But we also know, mom and dad, we've got you. We know how to handle you. So let the child at least disclose to us, and then let's take it the next step.
And I think now that she's on the other side of things, if she later learned that mom was told, she'd be grateful as opposed to being angry. Whereas if she suddenly found things totally different at home, it would have angered her, like you're saying, because you broke a trust. But now she would understand this was from a perspective of making sure that I was okay. So to Dana, I was still a priority and not my mom having the information. And I think that's at the core of what you guys do, to say, hey, our priority is you and making sure you're okay. We will then decide on what steps to take at a later stage. But you know what even impresses me more? The fact that I just learned that Dana is actually a counselor herself. Because, you know, sometimes it's just, hey, it's just the driving team behind everything else, and you're not necessarily in touch with what's happening. I'm impressed.
She's the mommy in the office, so she looks after all our counselors.
Oh.
She looks after all our students. She looks after all our permanent counseling employees. She looks after our social workers. And she sometimes needs to look after the guy that switches on the kettle as well.
That's you in this case. So this time around, we're bringing attention to this. What is the call to action, really? Is it the children? Is it to say we should also look out as parents? What's the call to action?
I think the call to action is have conversations. I think that's what we want. Get around the table. Have these conversations. And if something has happened, don't lose your cool. They made a mistake. I said to somebody the other day, when I was a child, let's say 13, and we used to still be outside, so we kicked balls, we played cricket, we did all of that. Mm. Now I hit a cricket ball through a window. You kind of did not go, "Mom, Dad, I hit a ball through the window." You kind of closed the curtain. And then when Mom got called at night, it was kind of like, what happened?
And you forget the hole is going to look like a ball.
100%. But the toys have now changed. And this is exactly the same thing. Mm. You cannot fathom to begin comparing them. But because the toys have changed, the things that kids do, what they get shy about, has changed. So a child that's now sent a photo is not going, "Mom, Dad," they close the curtain. And they kind of want to forget.
Danny, man, how did you think of that?
Well, only from above. That's the Holy Spirit and only
it's
the
so
Holy
true.
Spirit. And but what now needs to happen, remember, but the difference is somebody out there now knows, and they putting pressure on your child.
Mm.
So some grown-up is having your child's ear. So you need to be their go-to. And if you're not their go-to, hand them over to Dana and our team through our counseling hotline so that they've got somewhere to go to.
Yeah.
Do not be that helicopter parent that's like, I must know, because that's not what's needed in that point in time. And they do an amazing job.
Yeah.
They do an amazing job. And there's no cost involved. So your child is safe. And then Mommy, Daddy, that must be the worst feeling in the world. But there's help for you as well.
Yeah.
You can also have a conversation with someone. And do not go down on your child. Because once you do that, they won't come to you in future. So
yep.
Know your child, have conversations, and speak to them, and allow them opportunity and freedom that they can know they can speak and count on you and speak to you, but at the same time that they know you respect them enough to hand them over to somebody that can help them.
Tell me though, in the event, and I don't think I've ever asked you guys this question, I'm a parent, I'm listening right now, and I get this information. It might not be for a similar incident where I feel my child has been involved in this type of case, but I really feel they need to talk to somebody. Is there a certain level of consent that's needed between me and my child? Is it a matter of, hey, you're going to do this? What needs to happen? How can you also coach the parent on how do I do it? How do I make my child understand that this is needed in order for you to be okay? It could even be that they're being rebellious as I look at it, but I want to really try and submit them to your team to try and assist and journey with them. How do I do that as a parent without looking as though I'm forcing them to get help?
Very difficult question to answer. I think where a parent needs to start in getting their child help is to start in a place where their child actually finds joy.
Mm.
What I mean by that is every child needs an outlet. Yes. To release their tension and to release their stress. So some children will go and play soccer, some will play netball, some dance, some sing, some they kind of have that extramural activity where they go and that they release everything that they're building up inside. That's where you get them. So what I mean by that is, if you notice that your child is struggling, first start off with trying to assist them in a way that they will find joy out of it. So putting them in some form of sport. When you see that the problem still persists or they are still struggling, whether it be academically, emotionally, being targeted by, you know, a group at school, whatever it may be, It's important then to sit your child down and say, listen, I am here for you to speak to. If you are not comfortable to speak to me, is there someone else in the family you are comfortable to speak to? If not, we then also try, listen, do we go to church as a family? Do we not? Is there some form of youth camp or youth program at a church that I can enroll my child in?
Mm.
So it's important, like Donnie mentioned before, to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because what's going to work for one child is not going to work for all.
True.
So we need to really depend on what the child's interests are, what the problems they are experiencing are as well. Allow them a wide number of choices to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're not saying, you need help, I'm putting you in counseling.
Yeah.
Because they're going to rebel.
True.
They will not actively participate in the process of working with their counselor. So rather give them options. Listen, I see you struggling. Would you like to take on a sport? Okay, we try a sport.
Mm.
Listen, I still feel that there might be some things that you're going through. Remember, I am here to help you. But if that's not working, you know, would you like to try this youth program?
Mm.
If not, okay. There's also this facility or this line I've been made aware of. Can we give that a try? Have those open conversations.
Wow.
Your child will find a way eventually that will work with them and their presenting problems.
Sure.
And your child's not the first one that has gone through it, number one, but number two. Unfortunately, and this is just the way it works, the Bible works the same way. Sometimes we need people to have gone through things so that they can educate other people on what to do and not to give up. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It is bad, but it's not that bad that we want to lose lives.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, that child, and you mentioned it earlier with that influencer, she needed to go through that so that other kids that go through that have somebody that they can go to. And they need to remember that Dana always says something. She says, well, you know, sometimes I speak about certain topics at a school, and she'd say, I didn't, you know, I went through some of that. And myself went through some of that. We needed to go through that to have a different empathy and a different way of looking at that. I mean, when we have discussions in the office, it's always about, I understand you see things a certain way. I'm actually agreeing with you, but let's just have the conversation about the other side so that we've got a better, Dana loves the word holistic, a more holistic view of what's really happening.
That's true.
And that comes with time. And I'm a parent, I mean, I've got two teenagers, and sometimes you look at them and you just want to protect them at all costs. But what then happens if you, in a moment, you cannot be there?
Mm.
You need to equip them well enough so that they make the right decisions.
True.
And they know that you are there even if they don't.
Wow.
Because love, as we've seen from what Jesus did for us, should not come with terms and conditions.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, love is in the small things. Yeah. Love isn't always in the big things. Sometimes it's in something as small as somebody saying, I can see you carrying heavy there.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot maybe help you carry, but I can get you a basket.
Wow. Guys, I'm looking at our time. We are running out of time. Any last words that you'd like to bring to our attention as we journey through this? I think I'm getting chills, you know, just thinking my kids are still young, but there's so much we need to be vigilant about where our children are concerned, actually. Because like we're saying, they're just exposed to so much more. They're not playing with dolls and balls now. They're playing with technology. And one day, Given once said, I don't know if you know Given Maselela, he once said, the sad reality is that back in the day, you needed to search for pornography. Nowadays, it just pops up on your screen. You don't invite it. That's the world our children are exposed to.
Before I hand over to Dana, because she's a clever one when it gets to the counseling, I said to the kids this morning, and the reason my phone's here is for the number, because we've got 279 child protection hotlines. We've not memorized all the numbers, to be truthful. You might be 13 years old and you've got the world in your hands and you've got access to people living anywhere in the world. But the ultimate plan of this device is to isolate you. Because you lose the ability to communicate in person if this becomes your world.
True. Yeah, that's deep, I must say. Very deep. And Dana?
So I'm just going to read the number out so that people have it in case that they don't. It's 076-037-6345. That's the counseling hotline number. So that's the number that they can WhatsApp, send a message saying hi to get assistance and to get help. But Donnie ended off so well by saying, you know, a device is made to isolate.
Yeah.
But a device can also cause a lot of damage, but it can also cause a lot of good. We are not going to eliminate cell phones out of our kids' lives.
Yeah.
So as a parent, rather educate and shield your child from the dangers that exist out there so that they know what is right and what is wrong.
Yep.
Then pretend that it doesn't exist and your child gets exposed somewhere else.
And they discover it while you're still turning a blind eye.
Yes.
Before you know it, they're way more advanced than you actually think you know.
Yes.
Sure. Guys, thank you so much for coming through. This is absolutely amazing. I think I'm like, I'm not ready to be a parent. I am one, but I'm not ready. That contact detail once again before we say goodbye.
076-037-6345.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And God bless.
You too.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.